The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
In today's society, because of the internet, because of television, there are more and more different kinds of advertisements. You can see in YouTube, even though it's supposed to be in the internet, the advertisers will even use that to insert some form of to introduce their product. Why? Because information, the more people are informed of a product, the more possibility that they will buy it. And let's face it, when you watch Super Bowl and millions are watching, they are going to spend, or they have spent millions of dollars just for what? How many minutes? 2 minutes? 2 minutes? 3 minutes? Huh? 30 seconds, though, see? So why? Because your favorite show, and then here comes this product, beer, burger, pizza. So every time you talk about NFL, you identify it with beer. There's a connection somehow established in your mind because of the advertisement. So advertisement is acceptable as part of business. So you wonder why Christ told his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Come on, I mean, why not? They heard it, they heard the answer, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Why won't you tell them, the other people? Well, just like advertisements, many of them tell lies. They will stretch the truth, or they will make it so colorful that it's no longer real. But somehow, people believe it. Like, for example, why would you find a burger with a sexy lady trying to give it to you? What's the relationship? No? Maybe because they think that sex and food are supposed to be connected. I don't know. So they stretch the truth and somehow manipulate you into buying it. The thing about the apostles, when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," yes, that was the truth, but they had a very wrong, limited idea of the Messiah. Christ did not want them, the apostles, to make him a political leader. Because at that time, Israel, the Jews,
were under what? The Roman Empire. So they are very much influenced by the idea that the Messiah would free them from the clutches of the emperor. Even one of the apostles was a zealot. A zealot is somebody who's very political and sadly would even use violence to make sure that they are free from the Romans. So here was Peter and the apostles very much influenced by politics, that they thought that when Christ would come, he will free them from the Roman Empire. And Christ did not want them to say that. Why? Until this. That's why they don't like this. Why do you think they ran away? Because how can you be a political Messiah, a savior of Israel, and then die as a common criminal? It was after he rose from the dead that they realized that the messiahship of Christ was totally different from their expectations. So Christ did not want false advertisements. And let's face it, many advertisements are false. So here were Peter. You are the Christ, Son of the living God. And then when the going gets tough, when he saw Christ being pulled by the soldiers so that he will be judged by the governor, he denied him three times. And then when Christ asked him, "Do you love me?" Of course, Peter, now humbled, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." But this love is no longer a selfish, self-serving love. It is truly something beyond himself, and that is to give glory, to give praise to Jesus. So you and I here, we're supposed to know more than Peter and the apostles. The question is, do we love Christ accordingly? And what is accordingly? You have to love him like God, or as the God that we worship, above all things, above everybody else. You should love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the problem. Is our version of Christ different? See, now that I'm talking to you, each of you will want to grasp what I'm trying to say according to your own mentality. If you don't want, for example, you hate somebody, and then I'm telling you, God is forgiving, I don't want to listen to that. You pick and choose what to hear. That's part of being individuals. If you don't want to hear something, you don't listen. So each of you, each of us, respond to Christ's invitation to intimacy according to our own individuality. So I cannot compare myself to you, nor should you compare yourself to others. But we should know, if we are really honest enough, how much do we really respond to our imitation of Christ? No? Again, I come from a third world country where people are mostly poor. Most people here in America compared to the Philippines are doing good materially. Now, is it easier for a poor nation to imitate the poor Christ? Maybe, because they have no choice. When I was in the Philippines, I always said to myself, "Hey, you religious, you have the vow of poverty." But let's face it, when you're a religious in the Philippines and you have the vow of poverty, because you have common property, you are actually doing well than the diocesan priest, than the ordinary priest, because the ordinary priest in the Philippines will have no social security, doesn't have any insurance, and most of us die really poor. Unlike a religious, it's something else. So when I came here, it's different. The diocesan priests have salaries and everything. So I have to reverse myself and said, okay, I need to be detached from these things. So I became a religious. In the Philippines, I would have never thought of being a religious, because to be a religious is to really have a fat belly. No, really, because you are a community, you eat well. But in the Philippines, where most parishes are poor, we eat whatever food the poor people eat. But the point is, how do you respond to your situation now? Okay, you have more money. What do you do about it? Do you add more money? Or you said to yourself, okay, Lord, it's enough. I have been blessed. I share it now with everybody else. No? Or the thing is, you have to respond, or else, you know, do you love me? If Christ were to ask you right now, do you love me? What will you say to Christ? Yes, Lord, I love you. But what do you do? Do you pray every day? Is prayer for you a lot of effort? Or is praying for you excitement because you are talking to your lover? You are talking to this loving God. You are talking to this God who died for you. How do you pray? And then when you acknowledge his love for you and how much he suffered for you, do you at least realize, Lord, I have not really loved you? What did St. Augustine say? You know? My soul was restless until it has found rest in you, my God. Maybe some of you are still restless even though you're Catholics. No? Again, I keep telling people, why is it that there are some Christians, who became ISIS? What happened there? What happened to the blessings that the Americans received and the faith that they have received as Christians? What made them become ISIS? Violent, hateful, angry. Again, I do not know. Maybe somehow the advertisement that they received from their own parents were bad, were false. False advertisement. Why? Because they saw their parents or neighbors or country to be hateful. For whatever reason, they decided to embrace hatred rather than forgiveness. You don't have to go far to ISIS. We have our own here. What happened to Charlottesville? What's happening in different parts of the nation when people clash just because they have different ideas? Hatred, anger. And these are not pagans. These are Americans. And there's a possibility 30% of them or 40% of them are Christians. But what's wrong? Why so much hate? Is that the gospel that we receive, that we believe in? See, that's the thing. We profess to be a Christian nation, that there are many Christians. We profess to believe in the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of love. Yet there is so much hatred, animosity in our hearts. So, ask yourself, as if Christ is asking you, who am I to you? What is your idea of my being the savior of the world? Do you have a wrong idea of what Christ is all about? Or do you embrace this cross? Again, there are many preachers there who even give you false promises. Preachers, Christians, they say, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and everything will be fine. You will get all the material blessings. You don't have any cross to bear. Is that false advertisement? Yes or no? Yes. That's false advertisement. Christ never said there will be no cross. Christ never said to be selfish. Rather, Christ said what? If you want to follow me, what? Deny yourself first. See? Deny yourself first. Take up your cross and follow me. Why? Because he did it himself. And for us to be his followers, we must carry our own cross and not deny. Again, whatever I said, I hope you understand according to your willingness to hear. And whatever we do, please always remember, everything that we do, everything that we say should only be what? Ad maiorem resurgentis gloriam. Meaning what? For the greater glory of the risen Christ.